Father, bless these words in Jesus' name. What does it mean to stand still? We're given promises about standing still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and know that I am God. Right? The battle is the Lord's. Okay, what does it mean to stand still? Apart from standing still, a person will not have any confidence toward God. Standing still is very simple. It means be quiet. Be quiet. Right, isn't that, imagine that you go to the doctor and you get bad news. Isn't that the first thing that happens is a whole lot of psychic noise? A whole lot of thoughts shooting through your head, anticipations, imaginations, insecurities, fears, apprehension, expectations, possibilities. A whole lot of noise comes flying through our head. When the Word of God says stand still, the Word of God is saying be quiet. Be quiet. The sounds in your head, the voices, and I don't mean those voices, I mean the voices that actually do originate in your own head. Be quiet. Don't listen to the thoughts. Be quiet. In Isaiah 30:15, the Word of God says that in quietness and confidence, in quietness and confidence is our strength. When the voices start going through the head, the thoughts, when all the different possibilities start pummeling me, and we've all had these circumstances, we go to bed and all of a sudden the thoughts are there. And the imaginations, the mental pictures are there. And I can see in my mind's eye how things play out. And I can see faces and I can hear the sounds and I can hear the words and I can see the results. Be quiet. This is what the Word of God says, to cast down the imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. He's saying, be quiet. Israel, on numerous occasions, faced enemies that were much greater than they are. And God said to them, be quiet. Why? Because imagine if you are a soldier that is facing an army that you know is far greater than you. And you know that there's no possible way that you can outgun what's in front of you. You're not going to be quiet. You're going to anticipate, you're going to strategize, you might panic, you might be thinking to yourself, okay, if I do this, then this will happen. If I do that, maybe it'll have this outcome and I'll do this first and I'll do that second and I'll go around over there and there's a hiding place. And God said to Israel, don't think about any of that. Just be quiet and see the salvation of God. Said Israel, when you go out on the battlefield, realize that the battle is mine, so be quiet. When the Word of God says, let your words on earth be few, it's not necessarily only talking about the words I'm speaking, although that is included. It's also including the words that I am thinking in my natural mind. Be quiet. Because in quietness and confidence is your strength. What do I find in quietness and confidence that it's my strength? In quietness and confidence, I can receive the joy of the Lord. Even in the most dire of circumstances, the confidence of God can be my confidence. So be quiet. It's very easy for us, very possible, that we'll go through our lives screaming And on the outside we may look perfectly fine and composed, and in our minds we are screaming. And the voices are very loud, and the anxiety is very loud, and it constantly gets tuned higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. And I just don't get victory, I just don't get peace, but I still have a God who is faithful, who will come through for me, but my experience, frankly, is miserable. Why? Because God wasn't faithful? No. Because I would not be quiet. There is a way to be confident in the face of the impossible. That is to be quiet. When the Word of God says, "Let this mind be in you, that was also in Christ," He's talking about for all my situations and circumstances and all the thoughts that I have. He didn't say, try to take the Bible, use your natural thinking, use those noisy thoughts, and put a Bible band-aid on your problem. What he said is, let my words be your thoughts. Let my words be your thoughts. So why am I confident when I'm quiet? Because God's words are my thoughts. The only possible victory that a person can have for their experience comes from their mind. Because the world, Satan, everything out there is bigger than any one individual. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So while as an individual human being I cannot overcome beings, the one who is in me has already overcome the world. And when I am quiet, I receive his thinking. I receive his thoughts. And as I receive his thoughts, confidence builds in me. But folks, I'll tell you right now, without quietness, there is no confidence and there is no strength. Because without quietness, all I have is a lot of cosmic noise. It's like the snow on the television before they went to digital. You get this hissing sound, you get this black and white fuzz, but you never get any concrete anything. And so there is no stability and there is no hope and there is no confidence in nothing. But in quietness and confidence is our strength. And when I have quietness, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. He's not going to talk over me. But when I'm listening, he's speaking. I can't both talk and listen at the same time. So when I'm quiet, and guys, this will require some academic discipline sometimes. Quietness is not a natural condition. People who never learn to be quiet will not be able to tolerate quiet. Have you ever met people who've got to have something on all the time? They get in the car, the radio must be playing. They get home, the first thing they do, they turn on the television. They're not watching it, they just want the noise. Why? Because if I don't practice being quiet, eventually I will not tolerate being quiet. Because I will have no capacity for it. But if I practice to be quiet, what am I doing? I'm practicing the presence of God. I don't know. What does it even mean to practice the presence of God? I think we look at that with a very subjective viewpoint. We say to ourselves, okay, now I'm going to focus and remind myself and meditate on the fact that God is present. That's not practicing the presence of God. God's present whether you're thinking about it or not. Practicing the presence of God is I am quiet. Before Him, not in any subjective attempt to come to an emotional realization or reflection of what that might possibly mean as my head is touching heaven, but the fact that He is present. If I am quiet, I'm practicing His presence. In other words, if I'm doing all the thinking, if I'm doing all the talking, He's not saying a word. You ever have a conversation where both of you are talking at the same time? Doesn't work real well. One talks, the other listens. The problem is, we do all the talking, and God winds up doing all the listening. But when I learn to be quiet, I preserve my capacity. This is why the Word of God says in Revelation 12:10 that they overcame Him by the word of their testimony. How did they overcome Him by the word of their testimony? They were quiet. And then they spoke that which they received. This is what it means in Matthew 4:4 that man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That man will, if you will, shut up. That he'll stop talking in his head and he'll start listening to the Holy Spirit. The problem is, we try to figure it out in our head and we call that the Holy Spirit. And it's not. And we usually do that when we try to use the Bible Band-Aid. But that's not what quietness is. And quietness and confidence is your strength. How do I get confidence? I get confidence because I'm quiet and the Holy Spirit is talking to me. And what does He tell me that builds my confidence? He tells me promises. He tells me God's character. He gives me guidance. And you know what else He does? He helps me to experience the feeling, yeah, the feeling of His presence. And when I can sense the presence of God because I've quieted down long enough to be able to give Him a chance to get a word in edgewise, then I start to realize His presence. Then I get that sense of He's right there, and that gives profound confidence. But all this cosmic noise that we have going through our heads weakens us profoundly. Satan trains people for cosmic noise. He does. Satan trains people for cosmic noise. What does he do? Look at your surroundings. I remember when I was a teenager, my aunt came from the Czech Republic. And this is when they were in the communist days. But she was very ill, and normally they wouldn't let people go to the West, but she was very ill. And so they let her to the West because they were actually hoping she would defect. Because at this point she was costing them money. And we were going down the street, it was a fairly busy road, and she was just overwhelmed in her senses. Because it was one light, one sign, one thing right after another. And she described it as visual noise. She said, there's a lot of visual noise here. Well, yeah, there is. In our society, there is. We are trained by our very surroundings. We are trained from the very get-go. Now, why do you think in education systems nowadays everything has to be group work? So that nobody will be quiet long enough to learn how to have a good thought. A group is much easier to control than an individual. Be quiet. Just be quiet. God didn't tell you ever that you need the answers. God said He's the answer. God said, I will supply all your needs. He didn't ignore your needs. He didn't just say, be quiet and hope it turns out for the best. That's what we kind of tell ourselves. But that's not what he said. He said, stand still, be quiet, and see the salvation of God. He said, when you're quiet, that's when you get to experience, in the fullness of that experience, what victory really means. So be quiet. We don't do that. We just don't. We don't do that. We're not quiet. You would think that if for some people, if you were to turn off the radio or the TV, it would kill them. Why? Cosmic noise. They love cosmic noise. Because they are empty, because they are void of the thoughts of God. And they cannot deal with the emptiness. But God says, be quiet and I'll start talking. Why do people not experience a rich communion with Christ? Because they never let Him say anything. It's that simple. They never let Him talk. How am I supposed to have a rich fellowship with someone if I do all the talking? That's not a rich fellowship, that's a rich lecture. You ever meet people who are like that? They won't be quiet long enough for the other person to say anything. They say, I want to discuss something, and then they lecture. We're like that with God sometimes. Except we're not talking to Him, we're just talking. It reminds me of a crazy person walking around muttering to themselves all day. But this is what we do. Something happens and all of a sudden we hear the voices. And we rehearse what happened. And we even have a conversation with that person in our head. Oh, I'm going to tell them this. Don't go there. By the way, when something happens, the voices that come, shut them up. Why? They're not productive voices. They're useless. Those are the words that are useless. Those are vanity. When something happens, the first thing you want to do is quiet down. And then as you quiet down, God will give you His mind for that situation. But He's not going to give that to you so long as there's already voices in your head. Because you're not going to hear anything He says. You're not going to be led unless you're quiet. Why? Because you can't hear. The thing to do is to be quiet. Because when you do, that's when you'll see who God really is. God is in the still, small voice. God is in the voice that said, this is going to work out for your good. God is in the voice, and I'm sure you've had this, we all had. Something happens, and this very small voice says, this had to happen. And in some way, that voice in your heart says, this is for your benefit. This leads to good. And you say, how? And God says, be quiet. God knows the end from the beginning. That means, at the beginning of the matter, God knows how it ends. And He says that the end of that thing is better than its beginning. And we say to ourselves, I'm in the middle. And God says, so I left. When God says He never leaves nor forsakes, that means He's not only at the beginning and at the end, He's also in the middle. But we kick against the pricks for God's perfect plan to conform us to who He is so that His character can come out of us. And the reason why we do that is because we won't be quiet. We try to evaluate, we try to analyze, we try to figure out, and God says, shut up. You have no confidence and you have no strength because you're not quiet. Quiet down and you'll have confidence. You know why? Because the thoughts that you think invariably are not edifying thoughts. Unless you have practiced being quiet, and unless you have, with academic discipline, incorporated the mind of Christ, you're not going to have edifying thoughts. And so God wants to give you thoughts of confidence, and you're having thoughts of anxiety. And you're saying, this will never work out. Look at that. Having a problem with your giants, are you? And we say, God, this will not work. God, this cannot be. God, it will not happen. God, it will not function. God, I'm toast. And God says, you're crucified with Christ. And you're seated above in heavenly places. Been reading Revelation lately. What is at the throne? You have the throne, and then you have 24 more thrones on the either side of the throne, and you have the seven candlesticks in front of the throne. You have the seven angels, and you got the four beasts, and you got the crystal sea in front of the throne, and you got the altar, and you got the golden vials with the incense. It says nothing about toast. Be quiet. That simple. Be quiet. People train themselves to doubt God because they will not bring their minds into academic discipline because they live in intellectual slothfulness. But the fact is that God's promises are all yea and amen. All of them. God's promises are all yea and amen. Not for me. Liar! God's promises are all yea and amen. Be quiet. Because there's going to be your confidence. Folks, apart from that confidence and apart from that quietness, your life is going to be miserable. Why? Because no matter what you do, the world will hate you because they first hated Christ. No matter what you do, you're going to have the promised tribulations that Christ told you about. No matter what you do, you're going to have the trial of your faith. Expect it. Don't be surprised from it. Don't let it blow your mind. Don't let it faze you. Just be quiet and know that He is God. Why? What happens when I know He is God? I start to get confident. I start to know that all things are from God and all things are for my sake. show me anything that is not covered by the word all. All things are from God. All things are for my sake. I be quiet and I know that He is God, and I become supremely confident and incredibly strengthened to the point where I have that peace that passes understanding, because I know something the world doesn't know. At that point, the believer starts to experience his victory. And even if the manifestation of the victory has not occurred in time, the experience of the victory begins long before the situation manifests it. But the key to the whole thing is to be quiet. If I will not be quiet, in the end of the thing will still be better than the beginning thereof. God's faithfulness will still come through and God's promises will hold. But I will have become a very bitter and miserable person because I will have trained my mind in the wrong things. In the things of the world and the thoughts of the enemy. And I will live in one accusation after another. And I will train myself into self-orientation because I'm always looking at how the circumstance makes me feel. And that becomes my premise for everything. And then if you don't make me feel good, something's wrong with you. God didn't make me feel good, something was wrong with God. The situation didn't make me feel good, something's wrong with the situation. Your thinking is shot. What do I do if I'm there? Because there's a lot of believers who are. I be quiet. Stop the words. Cast down the imaginations that exalt themselves against doctrine. Get some mental guts and believe what God has said. You're going to live in faith one way or the other. Why? Because tomorrow has not yet arrived. You live in faith toward the fact that there even is a tomorrow. So what are you placing your faith in? What are you placing your faith in? That's where your faith is going to be. When I'm constantly in my mind facing my burdens, the burden looks huge. Why? Take something. Do we have anything? Something small. Take your thumb. Your thumb is not terrible. Go ahead. Take your thumb. Your thumb is not really big. Do it. Take your thumb. Put it right smack in front of your eyes. Isn't it amazing how that little thumb can occupy the whole room? Wouldn't take much to break that little thumb. But it looks so big. This is why. Because you're staring at it. Be quiet. Cast it down. How do I enter into faith rest? Is there even such a thing as faith rest outside of theological realm? Unless faith rest is your reality, you don't know what it means to be quiet. Why does God take me through these situations? Because they are more valuable than gold, which perishes. Because that which the circumstance builds on my heart will never perish. People are so overly occupied with their 70 years. Well, your 70 years are going to pass. What did you do with them? Well, I talked a lot. My advice to you is get used to listening to God now, because you're going to be doing it for the rest of eternity. And you want to be good at it when you get there. In quietness and confidence, you will find strength. You see, somebody who's always just plowed over by the trials of their faith, that's a normal condition. But we're supernatural beings. Not like God is, but we have Him in us. And that makes us supernatural. How can anything else have the mind of God? We're beings that don't end. So your little 70 years is hardly a springboard. And that's all it is. Because your life hasn't started yet. But people constantly listen to those voices. Oh, I'll never succeed. I'll never get the grade. I'll never get the job. I'll never get the guy. I'll never get the girl. I'll never have the outcome. I'll never have good kids. I'll never this, that, and the other thing. According to your faith, be it unto you. Fortunately, God is more faithful than that. The key to the whole thing, folks, is quietness. The key to the whole thing is not knowing the outcome. Isaiah 30:15 did not say, know the outcome, be confident, and you'll be strengthened. It says, in quietness and confidence is your strength. But we just don't do it. And people will walk out of churches all over the country having heard a message that the Holy Spirit brought, and it will depart from them in a flash. Why? Because the other thoughts flood in. And this is what Jesus was talking about in the parable of the sower, where Satan comes and steals the seed through the cares of this world. And so it never takes a deep root. But if you want to be an overcomer, you need to learn to be quiet. Because God is going to do what God is going to do. And don't you think for a moment that all things are not from Him. If all things are from God, and He loves you with an everlasting love, what do you think the outcome's going to be like? Well, all things are from God, and this situation is just totally going to kill me, because He loves me with an everlasting love. But people think like they don't know how. You know why? Because they don't know how. The head is sick. No wonder that's the way we think. No, He said, I love you with an everlasting love. Therefore, all things are from God, and all things are for your sake, and the end of the thing is better than the beginning thereof, and it will conform you to His image. It will produce that faith, that patience, that experience that produces hope, which is an expectation and not a wishful thought. That's where you learn how to walk in faith, which is pleasing to God, because apart from it, it's impossible to please Him. That's where you learn to what it means to be just before God is the just live by faith. Be quiet. That's it. Just be quiet. I can't help but wonder how many marriages would not have fallen apart if the two parties learned to be quiet. But usually they have trouble because one head, which is sick, has all these words flying through it. The other head, which is sick, has all these words flying through it. And then the words get to be expressed, and none of the words came from the Spirit. Well, what did you expect? But when I learn how to be quiet in the practical details of my life, I'll have the mind of Christ for the practical details of my life. Why do you think James said that if any man wavers, he will receive nothing from God? Because he was talking about asking the Holy Spirit for wisdom. He was not, by the way, talking about prayer in general, like so many people want to apply it, taking it out of context, changing its meaning. He was talking about when you ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom, know that He's going to answer you. Believe that His answer will come. Because if you waver, you're going to try to use your own thinking instead of God's wisdom, and things aren't going to go well. You will get nothing. But when I am quiet, I start to think with God's mind. And all of a sudden, all of God's thoughts, but not God's thoughts, only God's presence and the power of God for my life come in like a flood, take over, and my confidence is not movable. The only time when I lose that confidence is when I start talking. So I let my words on earth be few, in my head also. What does it mean to be double-minded? It means I'm talking. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you, He is not going anywhere. So if I am double-minded, it means I am talking, and now I have two minds rather than the Spirit's mind. I have the mind of the flesh and I have the mind of the Spirit, and this is how I get into Romans 7. But if I'm simply quiet, stand still, and know that He's God, I will see His deliverance. And I don't care what the situation is. I will see His deliverance. I will see the promises fulfilled. I will see God come through for me. I will be conformed to His image. You ever crack a walnut? You get a nutcracker and you try to crack it. No, you try it first with your palms, right? You get a walnut and you try to squeeze it with your palms and it doesn't break. Sometimes it does, but the tougher ones don't. Maybe you haven't, I don't know. But that's how it works. Sometimes they break, sometimes they don't. So you go get a nutcracker and you squeeze it really hard and then it breaks. Guess who the walnut is? Why do you break the walnut? So that you can get at the seed. You can get at what's inside. Why is God breaking you? So that He can get at what's inside. And then He eats you. And then you're really one with Him. Learn to be quiet. Learn to be quiet. Plain and simple. Learn to be quiet. And if you're not quiet, tell yourself,
shut up. It works. Just tell yourself, shut up. Be quiet. Those aren't the right thoughts. So be quiet. Simple as that. And then you're going to know that He's God. Both in your meditations and in your experience. Amen?